are on the air. This is Ben Free. This is our Monday night conference call. And it's a... this is a day that my mind is blank. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Are you gathered around your hot dogs in your backyard? Where are you? who just came on the line there?
This is Donald in Texas.
Hey, Donald.
Good evening, Wynn.
Have you been on the line before?
I've been on two of the Sunday lines.
Two, okay. You never said hello, though, did you?
Well, yesterday I was on the list, so.
Okay, so we're on internet radio now, and this is a slow day. Thank you for being here. Who else just came on?
Dan from New York.
Hey, Dan.
Hi.
And do we have Terry? Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Terry Brown? Hang on a second.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Okay, I will tell you guys up front that this is one of those days where I was tempted to do a rerun. And what is all that static? Terry, are you on the line?
All callers are muted.
Terry? Hello, Terry. Because, you know, when we these calls, we talk about doing group energy and Brady. And, you know, actually, when we do that, we've had some conversations about this. And some of the people in our group have brought it up, and we've asked questions about it. And one of the aspects of group energy is that, on some level, we'll feel each other. And when we feel each other, we process each other to a certain degree. And, of course, if I just cut off human, dropped in from the sky, like our group souls do, then and then quickly hung up and cut off the human, but probably I would be more detached. But being a human, knowing that to actually make a contribution in this realm, part of you has to ground in this realm. You can't just come in like a bird. In other words, you could come in from out of this realm and fix this realm, then it would have been done. But if you've read my material, you'll know that there are millions of people on the planet that have, how would you say it, have come in from higher realms, that have graduated from this realm, that didn't require having a human incarnation, but they did. And the reason so, and why that's so important, is because if no one ever did that, in other words, if the higher realms did not have volunteers come into this realm, I do believe this was lost. I think it would just be totally in a dark hole of negativity, because it is those people that volunteer that become the liaison to bridge the energies. Now, I would say that those of you on this line that keep coming back, that are attracted to this, very likely are also volunteers. And you probably know how hard it is when you're here to actually fulfill the higher purpose that perhaps was your original intent in incarnating in this realm, which was to be a bridge from this realm into the higher realms. Because theoretically, enough people did that, and then other people picked it up. This whole entire realm would be liberated. And that's the, I guess, the carrot. And when I wrote, was writing and asking questions to the Elohim, in questions and answers with the Elohim, they were saying how all these souls in other realms were looking at coming into this realm and all thinking how easy it would be once they got here. And they had the idea that they were going to do what hadn't been done before and free this realm up. And when I say free this realm, actually, in certain ways, people have called this a prison planet, and in certain ways, it's true. Because, I'm sorry there's this on the line, and I don't know how to get rid of it. Terry, are you on? Now, Terry was on before, and now she's not. So, oh well. You guys might just have to listen to me for the hour. Why is this a prison? Well, when you hear this first time, if you're hearing it for the first time, it sounds a bit like science fiction. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the best science fiction writers were intuitively tapping into this or even directly tapping to it, because it's so wild, it's hard to believe it's true. But when you consider the universe as a giant hologram, and that we are in multiple timelines right now simultaneously, when you expand your own energy field, which we usually do, we usually have an expansion of our energy field into invisible realms. And when you're in invisible realms, expanding your energy field, there is a intelligence, a consciousness in those other realms that the way that I perceive it is they siphon our energies. They are like suction cups, like vampires. And they need energy from this realm. Now, I may have it wrong. Part of this comes from the Carla Ruckert material, the raw material, where they talked about this. And this negative group in other realms has intentionally kept human energy field within this trap or veil. And there's an interesting connection between this and DNA, because DNA is a microcosm of the macrocosm. And originally, humans were developed to be slaves. Now, this came through my channeling. It came through, there's a scholar named Zachariah Sitchin who studied Sumerian, studied ancient texts, and tried to put together a history of humans for millions of years. And apparently, in his explanation, we have been here for millions of years with starts and stops. And maybe at times the population was wiped out and receded. But it was described 4 million years ago that there were Anunnaki miners that were mining gold and that they bred humans slaves. And they bred them with two strands of DNA. And one of the things about openings of strands of DNA is those that have higher degrees of DNA openings have the ability, if they choose to use it, to control those with lower strands of DNA. So when you have beings that are more evolved with higher strands, if they want slaves, they just have to make sure they create a body that's got limited, lesser DNA openings than they do, and that those people would then be dependent on them. And I'm sure all of you, many of you, can relate to that in this planet. There are certain people that have higher strands of DNA open. And, you know, when somebody has that, in the best example, there will be a display of leadership. And they will use that as a way of actually not holding people down, but in sharing that energy, they actually help open others up. So it's good to have your higher strands activated. And the key is, when somebody is in a self or negative position, they use that as a way to control others. And so humans were developed 4 million years ago to do that. And in one of the things I read, this is not from one of my channelings, but it feels right. There would be these different tribes, and the humans who were slaves would run off and try to become free. And so their masters would create the idea that they were gods, and that if the humans would run away, they would suffer and be cursed. And so they created a spell or a fear. And this was, I believe, one of the first instances of how the idea of a judgmental god, a terrorizing god, a fearful god, got developed. And originally it was the people with higher DNA strands, very high DNA strands, actually creating that. And then it got lodged in the collective and became very powerful in the collective. So it became a model that got duplicated and duplicated throughout history. And so here we are in 2009, and all of those things still patterns that exist in other realms we're still dealing with. And we're dealing with a negative force that comes from the Orion system that channels through people and is able to create shield, a barrier, that prevents humans in general from expanding through that barrier and really landing into the higher realm. And so one of the things that we're doing on these calls is creating a connection with energies on the other side of it, that are not underneath that barrier, but above it. And so that becomes like a force that, as a reference, that as you tune into it, it starts pulling you and holding you in a position that's expanded beyond the veil of the earth and beyond the veil of the negative side. And once this process starts in someone, it's good to know how the game works. There is a game to it. And part of the game is, if you open up into this expanded matrix, you are now in your vibratory field, opened up to many influences that you wouldn't have been open up to if you weren't expanded. So there's two lessons that come forth for anyone that has this experience of this kind of expansion. And you open up to processing the shadow, processing the negative energies in yourself that are in this matrix that most of us have created over many lifetimes, and that when our physical body is at the very bottom of this matrix, and when we die, of course, the entire matrix goes on, creates another physical body, and another one, and one of the ideas of getting off the wheel of reincarnation, or having the freedom not to have or to need to have to incarnate into this realm, is to be able to anchor your energies in those sources that are above this realm. Because you reincarnate, you come back here because part of your energy is still in this realm. And you come back because when you're in the other realm, you have this knowledge. This is how I think it works, that you need to recoup your energy. So you're here. In other words, it's easy to say, okay, I'm going to let go of all the energy in the physical realm and move upwards. It's easy to say that. But I find when I talk to people and when I hear what they're connected to, most people are very worried about their children, or they had an ambition that they didn't fulfill. They wanted to have this perfect love affair down here, or they wanted to become a famous violinist, or they wanted to make sure their children were okay. In fact, their children were people that they've known for their lifetimes. Maybe their children in a previous life, which I think is very often the case, were their parents. So this is genuine care. So it's easy to say, all right, I'm going to let go of all that. You can see I wouldn't need to tell somebody they're supposed to. But this is the dilemma of evolution and the difficulty of it, because when we have things that we are attached to in this realm, we have to keep coming back to this realm to honor that attachment, to work with it, to work with what we wanted with it. And of course, what we probably wanted to do, really, was to make sure, I mean, this is probably a subconscious desire, the children, which is one of the biggest attachments I think people have, we wanted to make sure our children were all right, which means we wanted to make sure they graduated. At some subconscious level, we know that it works this way. So now we keep coming back, and maybe our children are going astray, or maybe these people that we call them our children in this life, but they're our associates probably over many lifetimes. And they go astray, and you care about them, and you don't want them to go astray. And you want to help them, and love and care is a very powerful motivator. So you keep coming back, and you meet them again and again. So when somebody says, oh, you're just detached from everything in the physical realm, and now you're free of this realm, you don't have to incarnate here, do you really want to do that? You know, if you study spiritual literature and say, geez, I want to be a bodhisattva. I don't want to be in this realm. I want to be a master teacher. Well, you can't do those things and be attached. I don't think so, anyway. I think you have to detach yourself. And the thing about detaching doesn't mean that you don't cut off your love from your children. It means that you're not hooked by it anymore. You're not hooked by your ambition. And so I think that one of the things we're doing in all these conference calls is giving people... Somebody might hear this the wrong way, and they might say, I'm not supposed to love my children, or I'm not supposed to care about my children. No, that's not it at all. In fact, if you do that, you'll probably feel guilty, and your guilt will be coming back into this realm. Very tricky. We're creating a reference point, a very powerful reference point on a continuing level of the connection in between realms, between us and them. And the more you learn to integrate that reference point, to internalize it, the more you exist in an expanded matrix. And when you exist in an expanded matrix, you're not of your children. You are now part of your matrix. It's expanded. You who are listening to this call are part of my matrix. I'm part of your matrix. We, just by the nature of showing up, are feeling each other and connecting with each other. And we're doing it under the auspices of these really high energies that are helping to keep us on track and in the right direction. And let me unmute people.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Good, because I got dropped off. Yeah.
Let me mute everybody, then you push *6, and then you'll be unmuted, okay?
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
Are you there?
I'm there. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh. We got two of you. Talk for a moment.
There's an echo.
There's an echo. You're right. There is.
Yeah.
You got knocked off of BBS, right?
Yeah.
We certainly can't have a channeling with an echo, okay?
Right.
Let's see. What should we do? I can give you Yes's number, and you can call, and maybe you can get back on, okay?
All right. Yeah.
Have you been listening? No?
Yes. Yes.
Yes? Okay. Hang on just a moment. Sorry for this interruption. Okay, just a second. All right, Terry?
Yeah.
Here are two phone numbers, okay, that may get you back to BBS. All right?
Okay.
One of them is 530 876-3223. I hope all our listeners call that number, okay?
Is it 5-3-5-0?
You're echoing so much, I can't even hear you. 530-876-3223.
873?
876-223. 876-23, okay?
Okay.
Now, the other number is 876-9146.
Okay.
Did you get that second number?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
And let me mute everybody again because we have a really bad connection tonight. Okay.
All callers are muted. Entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are off.
Okay. Even I have an echo, I think. Not as bad as Terry's. You know, the way we work this show is BBS is a radio network, an internet network, and I guess about 3 years ago, when they were first starting, and I had no idea how to put this out into the world, when BBS was first starting, somebody introduced me to the founder of the station, who was Don Newsome. And I told Don a little of my story and how I had these two women that were channeling. And he said, Wynn, you have the most far-out story I ever heard. And he said, why don't I put it up on the air? So I talked him to a tape recorder for an hour, and I sent him the tape. And he put it up, and of course, I don't even know if anyone listened at that time. And he called me and said, why don't you do a regular show? And I told him, I don't know what I would talk about. I can't keep telling the same story. And of course, I didn't do a regular show. I didn't agree to it, but Don kept calling me, and we becoming friends, and we're having these very creative conversations. And so I suggested to Don, I said, why don't we just tape our conversations and put it up on the internet and call it the Don and Wynn Show? So we started doing that. And for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and there's the archives are still there on BBS, we did the Don and Wynn Show. And probably about 4 months into it, Daphne was in England, and I was in Los Angeles, and I invited Daphne to be a guest. Okay, I did a show interviewing me, and in the middle of that show, she interrupted, they want to say something. And suddenly we had a live showing of the Council of 12, which was a division of Elohim. And the way the Council 12 described himself, and you know, this is very fascinating to really get this inside look about the greater universe operates. Because the Elohim is like these, this is my way of grasping it. I like it. At the very beginning of time, these huge light energies that are intelligent and that can beam, weave their energies through the entire, but something in the universe to call on their energy and connect with it for that to occur. I might be wrong. Maybe able to do volitionally, but they do honor free will. So if they do something of their volition, on some level there has to be an openness for that thing to occur. And when Daphne and I were channeling this voice that said they were the Elohim, it just seemed crazy. It seemed crazy to her. She kept saying she was making it up and that I was on an ego trip. And part of it was that she was getting negatively attacked. And this is one of the ways I learned about how the negative operates, because I observed that there was definitely an intelligence paying attention to her and me when we did this kind of stuff, and it was very consistent. For example, I think one of the first pieces of experience that pointed this out to me was that one and I were living in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I was still, this was in 2003, and I was still in the process of writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I would be in the bedroom, and she would be in the living room. And I would pick up the computer to start the site, and at the moment, she would have a panic attack. And this happened multiple times to the point where I could only come to the conclusion that there was something negative, something watching me, knew I was picking up the computer, and that would provoke a panic attack in her to get me, which it did successfully. So this is how I developed this idea and understanding of the negative, watching these patterns. So I invited Daphne to be on the Donna Wynn Show, and the Council of 12 interrupts, and I believe that's one of the audios that's usually available on some of the packages I put out. The original Daphne channeling of the Council of 12 and the Donna Wynn Show. And it's very funny because, I mean, here she was talking about how that I guess in her mind, and when she and I got together, she left behind her old life and regretted that. And so she was very enmeshed with sometimes anger and sometimes sadness about leaving behind her life. And in the middle of having that kind of a conversation, she suddenly says, those guys went, and we had amazing, amazing channeling, voice that identified the Council of Hope. So I was describing as in these energies, intelligences, and I really can't visualize them in my mind because it's so outside them that I can't get a picture of it. I only get the effects of it. And some of you have gotten effects when we're on this, bring in this energy, and we can feel it coming in from way in the distance, feel good in the distance, and then they're talking to it. Well, apparently, 12 described itself like a cabinet to a president, and that it was searching on this realm, looking for places to go recommend to the Elohim okay, it needs some energy in here. Or could you beam some energy in there? That's the best way I could understand it in the way they described it. So it was a subset of the Elohim that would do that. And they were very important because in most cases, they were the group that petitioned for energy. So at one point I asked them, I said, do I have to go, am I going through the Council of 12 when I bring this energy in, when I ask you guys to bring energy in for this realm? And they said, well, I wasn't. And they said that they weren't bound by the Council of 12, they were free will. And the Council of 12 didn't have a problem because I was creating unique circumstances for the downloading of this energy, and that my intent was trusted so that I could do this as an independent agent. Now, I want to tell you, it took a few years to believe that I was really sweet. It was so such an amazing thing, and it felt like an awesome responsibility, and it is an awesome responsibility. And you know, the idea is that you can do it, or there's the people to do it. They want to have those kinds of actions down here. It's just really rare for someone to have fallen into making the connection and being able to be an example so that other people could do that also. And, you know, let's see, Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
I hear you. We got terrible echo here. Let me see if you have some safe words. Terry?
Yes. You want me to say something?
Okay. Do you hear the echo went on?
No, I don't hear the echo anymore.
You don't hear my echo?
Well, you aren't very perfect on the, I mean, your sound isn't very perfect right now.
Yeah, I hear my phone. But in any case, that's when you're talking, so, you know what? I have a few things about how it looks from my side and sharing it with everybody. And so we have the unusual circumstances. They can share with us how it looks from their side. And why don't I call in the light and give them a chance to address us? Are you clear for that, Terry?
Sure.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted to the highest concern. We see ourselves as a form of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a braiding of our energies, a connection, a formation of a group consciousness, and we invite those group souls who we've been working with, who are operating service to others in the Christ of Light, to join with us. And if you all shut your eyes, take off your shoes if you can. You may feel the experience of their energy in your space. We know they do this. Too many people have felt it and really amazing experiences. So right now, when I ask them to be present, if you open up you'll feel the way I feel, the way I sense energy on the top of my head, around my third eye, and to the best of my and my experience of all my questions, that is them coming in. And that means we're now tapped into a very expanded matrix at this moment. And we turn it over and let them use her as she freewillingly allows herself to be used as a voice in this realm.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with you this day, and we send you love and caring. We give us a minute. Daphne is our outpost messenger who has gone realms and realms away from Andromeda, where she was stationed for a long time. And she is bringing through love light and information from our realm to your realm. She has been working very hard on learning to focus her energies without picking up random other energies of different vibrations, as she is a very wideband receiver. We love Daphne very much, and we love Terry also, as Terry also has become adopted by us and is a messenger in her own fight at this time. She was previously working with the law group in bringing through information and has previously worked extensively in the heaven realm and before that in the realm of creating matrices and models in a higher dimension for the bringing forth of focusing of life forms. So she has an understanding of how life is summoned and focused and brought forth and given mobility and the impetus to move as an integrated being. We have worked with Wynn before and with Daphne before, and they are messengers into the third density, that there is more to life than just the third density in its flickering, narrow bandwidth with time that goes on forever and is very slow. And there is a whole range of angels and beings that are cheering you on. Would you only know that I'm cheering for your good health and your abundance and your success in your travels in the third dimension, and would welcome you home when you come back to the other side. T do you have questions?
Seeing an explanation of things. Why is it that some people end up being messengers and connected, and most people, they don't anywhere close to having the experience? Could you share that? And what would it one? Geez, I want a kind of messenger for that to occur.
This has to do with the intent of the individual. Many individuals have not found their true intent and only have hints of it. Many individuals are here for the experience and the sensation, and these individuals would not be bringing a message through. An individual that would be bringing a message through would be someone that has the intent in coming into this realm with the consideration to aid the realm or to make the connection to bring people back home, to remind people that there is a home on the other side which they may return to, and to orient people so that they are not lost in the realm.
When people graduate or finally go back to the other side, from a human consciousness, how would it feel? What would the experience be of being graduated? Like, do you have friends? Do you have fun with each other? Is it serious work of, like, the universe is screwed up and we've got? Could you tell me a little bit how that would feel?
One of the ways that it feels is for the, it's similar to an experience of a traveler that has been gone and now has become returned to his home. And in his home, his or her home, the individuals there are welcoming that individual for a safe journey, and no matter what has happened on that journey, is congratulating them for a unique trip and for finding the way back and letting them know how much they are loved and cared for, and it is a joyous experience, much the same as when a baby is born in the third dimension. The individuals of family welcome that baby in general, and it is similar when an individual comes home. There is a tremendous welcoming, and there can be a debriefing where the individual, they have a life review and go through the experience and debriefing them from that life.
So we changed the subject, and we announced on yesterday's Great Healing that I was going to talk this, and those of you that are interested should send me an email. And they suggest, actually came through a channeling of Daphne, that we encourage people, create a way for people to get together in groups of three or four over the telephone, every day, 5 minutes, calling in the light, just as I did, and to rotate the duties of calling in the light from one person to the next, and that by doing that, each of you will create a anchoring of this energy for yourself during your day. And let me let them comment on that. We don't have much time, in fact, gorgeously over, so we probably can go 1 or 2 minutes more. And would you like to make a comment on that idea?
Yes. This, to put together individuals that are similar or that have a identification or resonance with each other would be a good idea, and to get together and call in the light and bring in the light for the furthering of any areas that the individuals, 2 or 3 individuals, 4, would like to enhance life, to put emphasis on it, and this would be a worthwhile endeavor.
So those of you that are interested in participating in that, and some of you already did, please send me an email, and later this week do a conference call, and we will coordinate it. And just return, if you go to Message a Day and just do a reply to any of the messages, it will come to me. So on that note, I forgot to record this call, but it is recorded in the BBS archive, so I'll download it from there. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Terry, for being here.
All callers are unmuted.
Everyone is unmuted now?
Yes.
Yep.
We'll see you Wednesday, where you can submit questions, and we'll have answers for you. So, happy Labor Day. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you, Wynn Terry.
Thank you, Wynn Terry.
Hey, Wynn, can I ask you one thing?
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.